As we begin a new church year, we shift Gospels. Last year was a year C, and we were in Luke, which makes this year year A, and we return to Matthew. And so most of our Gospel readings between now and the end of next November will be from Matthew. This morning I'm reading from the 24th chapter of Matthew, beginning with the 36th verse. And the ever-present Advent word to watch and to be awake and to be alert. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore. For you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Traditionally in the church, this first Sunday in Advent is known as the Sunday of Hope. And so our second reading this morning is a reading entitled Hope from Lauren Thompson. Hope. Sometimes hope feels far away, but hope is always there. Hope is the warmth of strong arms around you. Hope is sad tears flowing, making room for joy. Hope is angry words bursting, making room for understanding. Hope is scared words asking for help and finding that help is there. Hope is knowing that you are loved. Hope is knowing that you love others. Hope is holding tight to your mother's hand. Hope is your father's goodnight kiss. Hope is remembering his kisses when he can't be there with you. Hope is finding happiness in simple things. Hope is daring to do something you've never done before. Hope is remembering that you are not alone. Many others feel just the way you do. Many others care. Hope is a candle flame in the darkness. Hope is the clear sky above the gray clouds. Hope is the glistening of the snow when the storm has passed. Hope is a heart that is open to the world around you. Hope is knowing that things change and that we can help things change for the better. Hope is always there inside you, waiting to unfold. May we hear this invitation to hope and this reminder to us to wait and to watch, and to be awake. Amen. I seem to have gotten separated this morning from the portable microphone, so I'm going to stay up here instead of coming down so that I know that everyone can hear. Today is Worldwide AIDS Day. Now, I first became aware of Worldwide AIDS Day when I went to work for hospice in late November 1994. And in those days, about the only friends that the AIDS community had was the hospice community. It was before the new drugs came out, and it was a very challenging time in which to have hope. And a few years later, when those drugs came out, The hospice community was no longer best friends with the community that was living and struggling with AIDS. We got a very amicable divorce, and we said, please, we don't want to see you for years. But I made a lot of friends and a lot of contacts in those early years. And toward the end of the 90s, when I was running a church-based and public school-based nonprofit, and we had after-school programs, and we had neighborhood-based employment, and we had drug and alcohol prevention programs. One of the people that I went to was Mike, who ran one of the AIDS awareness agencies in St. Louis. And we had done work earlier in an earlier time. And one of the things that we talked about, and this is really an activity of hope, he said, Martha, I never do needs assessments. Never do needs assessments. What I do are strength assessments. And I know your neighborhood well enough to know that if you go out and simply do a needs assessment, you'll never get out of bed in the morning. And so one of the actions that we take as a hopeful people, no matter the circumstances in which we find ourselves, is to know that there are ways that we can take a strengths assessment. And every year on World AIDS Day, I remember that. And I remember the difficult and the narrow and the troubled places that are close to me and that are far away. And how is it in hope that we can watch and wait with what is strong and whole and good within us? Last weekend, Elvira Pearl Binder died at Kishwaukee Hospital at the age of 81. And I officiated at her service and burial the day before Thanksgiving. Now, I didn't know her, but she was a woman who loved to celebrate. And she put her family through the paces to teach them to learn to be those who celebrate. And she didn't do that because her life had always gone well. Elvira lost the first child that she lost in infancy, a little boy. And many, many years later, she lost an adult daughter to suicide. And her daughter was found on Christmas Eve. And yet she found a way to not grow bitter and to not be so despondent that she wasn't able to celebrate anymore. Now, the death of a child is the grief that will never repair all of the way. It's not right. It's out of season. And it's a wound that will always be there. We all have wounds that will always be there. But the question is, can we choose to be those who hope, who pray for strength, pray for courage, pray for understanding, pray for just the possibility of tomorrow and what it might bring? This Tuesday will mark the second anniversary of the death of a very dear friend of mine. Paul was the youngest child of my last end-of-life patient, and he was a wonderful musician. He was a pianist. He ran a terrific music school in Asheville, North Carolina, and on the 3rd of December in 2011, he simply dropped dead. At the edge of his beloved garden, neighborhood children found him at the bottom of the long flight of steps in front of their home. And his dad, Mark, was and is a middle-of-the-road guy, a Scandinavian Lutheran, not exactly a flaming liberal. In fact, Mark refers to places like Hy-Vee, you know, employee run, or any kind of a grocery store that has a lot of organic stuff or experimental stuff as a liberal grocery store. That's Mark. Mark loved their youngest child, Paul, very, very much. And at Paul's huge memorial service in Asheville, North Carolina, Mark stood up and talked to this gathered assembly about what it was like to be Paul's dad and what it was like to love Paul and his partner, Jim. And after that service, he spent an hour and a half talking to young men who were there who had never had a single member of their family acknowledge who they loved or the life that was theirs. In the midst of his own unspeakable loss, he was able to tap the hope that was born of a love, a deep love, within his family. Hope is not about life going right. Hope is not about life being perfect. We enter Advent not to get ready for the front page of Better Homes and Gardens. We go through Advent to acknowledge where we hurt. We go through Advent to listen how God is coming into God's newness amongst us. We go through Advent to remember people whose stories from long ago are still told, and there are stories as well. We go through Advent to find those remnant places where hope can be nurtured, where life can be saved, and where there can be flourishing and abundance. I want to tell you that there's a group of people whom you don't know, and they've never seen you, who believe in a hopeful gesture here at Mayfield. Some of us have been talking off and on in recent months about the possibility of a Monarch way station on our little piece of remnant land that lies between the lawn of the parsonage, front and back, and the big field next door. And so on a lark, I bugged Peggy for some information and threw around a lot of good theological concepts that I believe in and submitted a grant proposal to Abbey of the Arts. It's an online reality that involves about 7,000 of us around the world. Now, this is their first grant cycle. They said no matter how many applications they received, they could grant 2 or maybe 3 projects up to $1,000. And so when I was up in the wee hours of the morning between Thanksgiving and the 29th of November, I thought, oh goodness, I wonder who's emailing me. Abbey of the Arts. Martha, we're so excited. We're going to be sending you $750, the amount of money that we requested because we believe in this project. And this is my language, not Christine's, the hope for the earth that it may carry. I was so excited. I've been sitting on this information for 2.5 days because it was perfect sermon material. We have an opportunity to be part of a network of remnant little pieces of ground at schools and libraries beside the side of the road, at churches, in zoos, in public parks, that are making an effort to provide a pathway for a species that we love. I'm so excited to begin Advent this way. And on the 29th, later in the day, we had just a gorgeous sunset. And I came back and I lit a fire in the fire pit and watched the sun go down. and just said a prayer of thanks for this opportunity to be a hopeful, giving, growing, awake people of God. So in case you were planning on sitting hope out, I believe that the Abbey of the Arts is calling us to open the doorways of hope wherever we may find them in our own lives, wherever we may find them together, wherever we may find them in our work or our neighborhoods, in our frustrations, in our dreams. Lots of doors, as we said earlier in this service, lots of doors close in our faces all the time or they won't budge in the first place. And so we look for those places where we can choose to open a doorway into an act of hope. Whether it's assessing strengths, whether it's finding a way to celebrate, whether it's sharing your story to relieve another's pain, or whether it's sinking your hands in the ground to make a difference. Opportunities abound, as does hope. And thanks be to God for the fact that we have gardeners and an environmental stewardship specialist and an agricultural literacy person and a pastor who knows how to throw words around. Because that's the combination for us to open this hopeful door. Amen.